listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, working on Jay Morrison of The Athletic. The 5-2 Cincinnati Bengals beat the Baltimore Ravens 41-17 Sunday, and now a force to be reckoned with. They've got the Jets coming up this weekend, and then a game against the Browns, Raiders, and Steelers. Those three games could be difficult. We'll see. But right now, the real talk should be how good this football team is. As we talked about earlier, preseason expectation, at least from some, including me, was they would be good, they'd be pesky, they'd win some games in the division, they could make it really annoying for the teams in the AFC North that are going to the playoffs. But now they sit on top of the division at 5-2. Jay Morrison joining us from The Athletic on our Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. How are you, Jay?
I'm good, Tony. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, what was the thing that worked for them against the Baltimore Ravens? What was the key to this 41-17 victory?
I guess you would say adjustments. They did everything they wanted to except throw the ball over the top, and that's how they've kind of jump started this offense in the past. They got off to slow starts. They hit a deep ball over the top to Ja'Marr Chase right before halftime, and then they just take off in the second half. Baltimore was just determined not to let the Bengals beat them over the top, and they said, "Okay, we'll hit you underneath." And this is what they loved about Ja'Marr Chase, almost more than his ability to take the top off the defense, is what he can do with the ball in his hands. When they drafted him, they just glowed about how much he's like a running back. He's built like a running back. And if you get a guy like that, break one tackle, he can be gone. And we saw that. He really had no problem with one of the best corners in the league in Marlon Humphrey, and he would shed a tackle and get these big gains. And It was Joe Burrow recognizing the pressure and finding Ja'Marr Chase underneath and then letting Ja'Marr Chase take off on his way to an offensive player of the month award.
Let's go back to draft day with Ja'Marr Chase. He opted out his final year at LSU. Everyone, sort of the pundits, however much stock you put in that, were thinking, oh, the Bengals should go offensive line here. They go with Chase. It's exciting to have a new weapon. But at that moment, how did that go over with the more detail-oriented fan base that kind of went, well, we have some problems X, Y, and Z that we'd like to fix?
You know, it felt like it was about 50-50 between Team Sewell and Team Chase. And I think the people on Team Chase would not have been that upset if they took Penei Sewell. The people on Team Sewell were irate when they took Ja'Marr Chase. They're like, it's not going to do you any good to have a great wide receiver. You can't throw him the ball. This O-line needs help. But the Bengals were the people inside the organization that we talked to before the draft were all in on Chase. They like Penei Sewell. They think he's going to have a fine career. But they said Ja'Marr Chase was going to be a difference maker, and they were right. And they go out and they get a rookie guard in the second round in Jackson Carman, who's not been a world beater, but he's getting better every week. This offensive line as a whole is getting better every week. And it was one of those things where they already signed Riley Reiff in free agency. So if they did draft Penei Sewell, they were going to move him inside to guard this year anyhow. It made much more sense to go with Chase if he could be this kind of player. But even what he's showing now, I think, is even far and beyond what anybody in that organization thought he was going to be through week 7.
And we always see good quarterback wide receiver relationships, and obviously these two were at LSU. What is that relationship like, even more because they went to college together, even before, because they won a national title together? I read that they don't live that far from each other. Like, what is this dynamic that's a little bit more deeper than other QB wide receiver relationships?
Yeah, I think it's huge. I mean, we saw that with this underneath stuff Sunday, where Joe Burrow did a few back shoulder throws, and there has to be a lot of trust and faith there and chemistry. And I think the other spot where this really came in big was in the preseason, in the OTAs and camp. I mean, a lot was made about Ja'Marr Chase not being able to catch. Yeah. And it wasn't like anyone thought it was going to define his career, that he would eventually get it turned around. But if you have a quarterback that's never played with a guy like that before, maybe he starts having some doubts in the back of his mind. Joe Burrow had played with Ja'Marr Chase for a couple years. He knew what kind of hands that guy has, and he never wavered. He just kept going back to him, and he kept defending him. He said, he's going to be fine. And then comes out week one, the first ball he throws him is a little difficult. It wasn't an easy one where Ja'Marr had to think about it. Ja'Marr goes and gets it. I think Jamar's had maybe one or two drops all season since then.
You know, teams that we've seen plenty of teams in the NFL that are five, you know, get like to 5-2 or like 6-1 or whatever, and they're good. But, you know, we still have a lot to play for. In the past, I've seen this Bengals team, and I don't know how long you've been around this organization, but I've seen this team have Andy Dalton, Carson Palmer, but they weren't fearful. Like, they were good, and you should respect them, but they didn't scare teams. I get a feeling that this team can scare teams. Is there a difference between the good Bengal teams in the past and this one? Because there is a history here of sort of futility within the organization.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, because even when the Bengals were rolling in 2015, they got off to that 8-0 start. It wasn't like they were these monsters that people feared. Like you said, they weren't scaring people. This team scares people. They have talent all across that offense. And, I mean, if you got Ja'Marr Chase that could take the top off, you got one of the best slot receivers, possession receivers in the game, Tyler Boyd. Joe Mixon is having a fantastic year. And then you put the Joe Burrow piece in there. Andy Dalton was a good quarterback, but he was never this, you know, kind of take the team by the throat and lead them to greatness type of guy. It was more kind of relying on the guys around him. And Joe Burrow just has that killer instinct, and he's just a difference maker. And it's not so much his physical skills; it's his mental ability to get them. And Andy did this too: get him out of a bad play, get him into a good one. But it's just there's just this different attitude among this team, and it is. They've arrived so fast. You do kind of wonder about the sustainability, because we have seen Bengal teams start fast in the past and kind of peter out. I don't know that we're going to see this team fall off, but I don't know if they can keep this up. It's going to be really interesting to watch in the second half of the season.
Even though we had kind of a short time with Burrow in his rookie season, what have you noticed in terms of this season from the growth of last year, from the way he handled rehabilitation, from the way he, you know, just developed more and more as a leader? What's the difference in year two to year one?
Yeah, I think it is recognition, and we saw it last year where he had a decent game against the Browns the first time they faced him, and then he throws for 406 and has this incredible game the second time he sees him. And then, you know, we saw it last year, the Pittsburgh game was really ugly. He gets his second shot at Pittsburgh this year, and they kind of run him out of the stadium, beat him by double digits on the road. And same thing, Ravens, 15 hits, 7 sacks. He looked lost and confused like Joe Burrow's never looked before the first time he faces him. And now he comes back and does what he did on Sunday. It's just his ability to adapt and learn on the fly and pick up little things. And I do. He was voted a captain as soon as he got here. But that rehab, I mean, he took his leadership to another level, because the guys in the locker room saw how hard he worked and how hard he fought to get back and be ready for the start of OTAs. That's a hard thing to do when you tear your ACL late November. And it's just, it's everything. It's the confidence, it's his play, it's his mental ability. He's just, there's not a stat that he hasn't only improved, that he's improved by light years. Completion percentage, passer rating, yards per attempt, they're all just off the charts from where they were last year.
One of the themes we've kind of been talking about over the last couple of weeks is these teams that have gotten these wins that are just a little bit more. There's a psychological edge to the winning. We think of Buffalo beating Kansas City, or we think of Tennessee beating both Buffalo and Kansas City. Is that the case with Cincinnati, this win against Pittsburgh, even though they're not quite the same Steelers team, and especially this win against Baltimore? You know, taking Burrow and putting him in this sort of black and blue division, it's like throwing a baby in a pool and going, go swim, because this is going to be tough. What is the mental state of going to Baltimore and beating this team that is a playoff caliber team, an AFC elevated team, and not only doing it, but doing it that well?
Yeah, it was huge, because everyone knows we're not allowed in the locker room anymore, so we don't really get to see how these guys react and how they look and talk when they're not in front of a microphone. And in Pittsburgh, we got down early. We're in the tunnel. We're watching them run off the field, and we're expecting them to be screaming and yelling and hooping and hollering. Like, yeah, we just beat the Steelers in their house. It was, they were all walking, heads down, matter of fact, business like. Mm. It was a little different Sunday in Baltimore. They were yelling. They were chirping at us because they saw all the media there. And they said, if you don't believe yet, you better start believing. And new Bengals. And they were all just shouting out these little phrases. And so there was a line. It was almost like the kids' soccer tunnel when the parents make when the kids run through. As soon as they would go turn the corner from where the media was standing, all a bunch of people were waiting for them. And every time a new guy would turn the corner, they would just erupt in there, and they would go through this little tunnel and slap five. It meant something to them. It definitely did. There is a new attitude on this team.
We talk about Ja'Marr Chase and we talk about Joe Burrow. Defensively, how are they? What are some other guys that have been really good this season?
Yeah, it's funny we're this far into the interview and we haven't talked about the defense yet, because that may be the biggest reason. I think we all kind of expected to see this offense take off this year. What the defense has done has been remarkable. I mean, this was they have 17 sacks all of last year. They're already at 19. I mean, they're a top 10 team in almost every defensive category. And the whole talk this offseason is if the defense can just be average, they can just be middle of the pack, this team's got a chance to be good because of the offense. And the defense really kind of took off even before the offense. The offense struggled a little bit the first few games. The defense has been great all year. And they go and they get Larry Ogunjobi from Cleveland. He's been a monster inside. DJ Reader, their prize piece last year, only played five games, had a season-ending injury in Baltimore. That was a big game for him Sunday to kind of go back on the same field where that happened. He's played incredible. Chidobe Awuzie, the cornerback from Dallas, has played out of his mind. Mike Hilton, they get him from Pittsburgh. That's another big thing. They get two free agents that are used to this division, that play in this division, know what this division is like. It's really transformed this defense.
Jay, really appreciate it. Thank you so much. We were talking in the preseason about, hey, look, this Bengals team is good. They could be pesky, just annoy the Ravens, annoy the Browns, annoy the Steelers, where they're not just going to be easy wins. I had no idea we'd be this. They'd be on top of the division. It's a real surprise. It's been fantastic.
Yeah, you and me and about every other person in the country didn't see this coming. It's been amazing to watch.
Jay, really appreciate it. Hope to catch up with you down the stretch as we get closer and closer to the end of the season. Thank you so much, my friend.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. Jay Morrison of The Athletic on the Cincinnati Bengals. 5-2 Cincinnati Bengals. And as I said earlier, listen, as a Steeler fan, I've seen this team year in and year out, twice a year, right? Watch them, paying attention to them. And as I said, even with Carson Palmer, even with Andy Dalton, good teams, really good teams. You mentioned the team that went 8-0. Yeah, but I always go, in the end, they're Cincinnati. They'll find a way to mess this up. They'll find a way to not. I really do think this team is different. I think he's right. I think this is a different feeling. This is a young quarterback that is really confident and really good, and he's got weapons, and that defense is playing very well. Like he said, guys that have caught on to that team that know that division. It's not like other divisions. I'm not saying it's better, but it is an aggressive, physical division, has been for a really long time, and once you can adapt to it, know it, get used to it, that's why that win against the Ravens is a big deal. It's not just beating a good AFC team. That's a tough team to roll through in a very tough division. And Cincinnati, right now, so far, so good, is doing that. All right, it's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.